Y'all just have to bear with me a minute. I'm just a little bit overwhelmed this morning. I feel like a lady I saw on television the other day. There was a commercial for the Publisher's Clearinghouse. And they came up to her door and they had the big check for like $10 million. And she opened the door, and as soon as she saw the check, she just began to weep. She couldn't say anything, Brother Freddie. She just stood there and wept. I think all her dreams had just came true. I think she felt that all of her needs had just been met. And that's the way I feel this morning. I feel like Jesus showed up at the door. It wasn't a check he had in his hand, but it was grace and mercy. Sometimes it's good just to realize how good it is to be saved. Amen. Take your Bible this morning if I can. I'm going to preach from Romans chapter number 8, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. We'll look at both of those places this morning. Romans chapter number 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Y'all glad you're saved this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Now listen, if you're visiting with us, let me just give you some good advice. The more you say amen, or that's good preaching, brother, the quicker I get done. See, when it gets real quiet, I think you're not getting it, and I just got to back up and explain the whole Bible to you. Amen. Brother Paul Fields was our very first children's church pastor, and one Sunday morning, he got up in front of the children's church and put his Bible on the pulpit, and they'd been playing games, and he was trying to get the kids to calm down. And he said, "Okay, kids, let's quieten down. Brother Paul's going to read the Bible." And he laid his Bible on the pulpit, and a little boy in the front row said, "The whole thing?" Amen. I've been in church where I felt like they was going to preach the whole thing. Amen. But we'll try and be mindful of your time this morning. Romans chapter number 8, and probably one of the most famous verses in the New Testament. I know John 3:16 is probably the most well-known verse in the New Testament. This may be the second most well-known verse in the New Testament. Look with me at verse number 28. Verse number 28 of Romans chapter number 8. The Bible said, "And we know that..." Say the next word with me. Now, let's just stop and have a little Bible lesson right there. A-double-L. A-L-L. We know that all... What does all mean? I mean, you got to go to Bible college and study Greek and Hebrew to get this. I mean, really, this is going to be deep. All means all. We know that all things... Have you ever doubted this verse? Come on, talk to him. You can be honest. I'm shaking my head. I've ran to it time and time again and said, "God, did you really mean what you said? Because this don't make no sense to me." Amen. He said, "For we know that all things work together for what?
Good.
To good to them that love God." I believe there is a condition on that verse.
Yes, sir.
I believe loving God would be that condition, wouldn't you?
Yes.
He said, "To them who are called according to His purpose." We've made that statement over and over and over. People going through this trial or that trial, and we'll quote that verse and say, "Well, we know that all things work together for good. We know that all things work together for good." But sometimes we need to apply that to our own life. Sometimes we need to get a hold of that ourselves and say, "God, I may not understand what's going on, but I know You do."
Amen.
Amen. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why this is taking place in my life, but God, here I am going to put my trust in You. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and look with me at verse number 7. Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Stay with me just a second. Do you understand what Paul is saying? He said, I've got this problem. Y'all forgive me. I've got to get rid of this cough drop. I'm going to spit it on the front row. I know I will. Paul is saying, God, I've got problems. Anybody ever prayed like that? Lord, I pray that you'll take this thing away from me, this thorn in my flesh. Whatever this infirmity is, whatever this illness is, God, please, would you take this away? And God, with Paul, like he has many times with me, said no. Answered prayer is not always a yes or a getting what you want. Do you understand that? Somebody said, oh, if I had $1 million, I'd do all this. You probably wouldn't even be here.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I've had people before got injured on their job and they're going to get a big lawsuit or a settlement or whatever you call that. Oh, preacher, as soon as we get that money, we're going to do this. And preacher, we're going to pay this off for the church and we're going to help here and we're going to help there. They get that money and you couldn't find them with the FBI. Sometimes it's our problems that keeps us close to God. Let's say that again. Sometimes it's our problem. Listen, if you never had a problem, would you even pray? If you never had any trouble, would you even pray? Probably not, Brother Freddie said, and that's probably right. Your prayer life would probably be zeal. When do you pray the most sincere? The bigger your problems, the greater your prayer life. Am I right?
Yes.
Amen. People come to church when the divorce is on. People come to church when the kids are just about gone. We turn to God when things are bad. I mean, that's the truth, isn't it? I do it, you do it, we all do it. But wouldn't it be wiser to turn to Him before it gets bad? Wouldn't it be wiser to run to God before the kids are out in the world and hooked on methamphetamines and all this kind of stuff? Wouldn't it be better to turn to God to begin with?
Amen.
But see, but to begin with, we don't realize we have a problem. We've got the mentality that this will never happen to me. It's always somebody else going through this. It's always somebody else going through that. I'm sure Ashley, as a young wife and a young mother-to-be, she never thought, I'm going to have cancer in a day or two. I better get prayed up. Probably never crossed her mind. We all right this morning? The idea is to get to God first. Now, here's what Paul said. I have this problem. God, would you fix it? And God said, no, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you grace to bear it. In other words, I'm not going to pull you out of the problem. I'm going to give you what you need to handle the problem. Brother Shane will never grow another leg. It's just gone. Some parts of your body will replace itself. I have to get a haircut every few weeks. Some of you don't. But I do. My hair replaces itself. Legs and arms, they don't replace themselves. Amen? Shane will never grow another leg. And you say, oh, God, please give me my leg back. God, please give me my leg back. And God says, no, but I'll give you what you need to get through it. I'll teach you not to kick a ball with a peg leg. Amen? God said, Paul, I'll give you what you need to get through it. You know what Paul said? Here's what we need to get this morning. I may never even get to this message. Here's what Paul said. Okay. Okay. He submitted to it. He submitted to it. He said, let's look at it again. Look at verse number, where'd it go? Verse number 9. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Here's how he responded. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Here's what he said, gladly. Gladly. God, if this is what it takes for you to get glory out of my life, I'll deal with it. Amen. Sometimes we just need to submit, quit fighting it, quit battling it, quit running from it, and just say, okay, God, if this is where you've got me, this is where I'll be happy.
Amen.
God, if this is what you want for my life. See, Paul didn't understand. He just knew he had a problem. But you know what happened? God gave him an explanation. Sometimes, you ever run into a problem when in your life and it just seems like the lights go out? I mean, just total darkness. You ain't got a clue. Me and Sister Angie got each other these phones for Valentine's. And I personally don't know how we ever lived without them. I mean, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I was playing with his phone, and I'm working on a message. There's an app for that. I'm going to preach that here before long. But I was playing with his phone, all these little things you can download, and I saw the coolest thing. It has a flashlight. Yeah. It's free. All you had to do is just click download. And I got a flashlight. It don't look all that bright in here, but really in the dark, you'd be amazed. And how good. Man, isn't a flashlight a wonderful thing? I mean, it really is. A flashlight is one of the coolest things you can have. I've got one in every vehicle that I have. I've got one in the kitchen cabinet. I've got two or three in the garage. Flashlights are great things. You know why they're so great? They allow you to see in the dark. They allow you to see what you normally could not see. Somebody talk to me this morning. How many of you appreciate the fact of a flashlight? There's a place in heaven for the man who invented the flashlight. Amen. Amen. Sometimes in our lives, spiritually, we get to a place where we cannot see the way. We don't know what to do because we can't see. I don't know which way to go, God. I cannot see. Amen. You ever got up? Oh Lord, if you travel much, you know what I'm talking about. Get up in the middle of the night in the motel having to go to the bathroom. Hampton Inn is the best motel in the world. They got nightlights. I never thought as a grown man I'd need a nightlight. But when you're in a strange place, you get out of bed and you run into the wall and you can't see where you're going. You need some light on the situation. Some of you are about ready to throw in the towel this morning. You're about to quit on the marriage. You're about to quit on the relationship. You're about to quit on God altogether. How many of you have been tempted to quit? Some of you walked out the door this morning, saw the sunshine, was tempted to go to the lake with the rest of that crowd. Amen. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and it just don't work. Every time I think things are going to get better, they get worse. One of my favorite words as a young boy growing up, and I know my mother is fixing to say amen. One of my favorite words was why. Told you. Why? Son, you got to do this. Why? Son, you can't go here. Why? I wanted an explanation for everything. But then I got saved. And I realized that even as a Christian, as a Bible believer, as a child of God, I'm still going to have troubles and I'm still going to have problems. And I found myself saying to God over and over and over the same thing I said to my mother over and over, why, God? Why is this necessary? I could deal with this if I just knew why. Paul said, I could handle this thorn in my flesh now that I know why it's there. God, now that I know that this is necessary for you to get glory out of my life, I will deal with it and I will handle it. Sometimes it seems like God just turns the lights off and leaves us clueless. But I'm sure glad when He cuts the flashlight on. Amen. I'm so glad when He cuts that light on where you can see. You ever been lost in the woods at night? I have. I grew up, we coon hunted about half my life. I've been lost in the McPherson woods more times than you can shake a stick at and lose the dogs and take forever to find the truck. You go back the next day and you realize all you were doing was going round and round and round. It looks so much different in the light. Amen. Amen. And when God finally shines some light on situations in your life, you go, oh, okay. If that was necessary for me to get here, I'll go back there again. If it was necessary for me to go through that, to know this kind of joy, to know this kind of peace, to have this kind of happiness in my life, I'll go back there and go through it again. But at the time, I didn't have a clue and I was ready to throw in the towel. Amen. What I'm saying is God knows what He's doing. I don't know why you're struggling. Sometimes with Brother Shane, he disappeared. Sometimes with Brother Shane, that man, if anybody ever had the problems of Job, I'd say Shane. He'd be right up there on the list. My mother-in-law. Only person I know been married, what, four times? She's been married four times and never been through a divorce. What are you saying? She's buried three husbands. She's buried a daughter, a son, a grandson. When she got married, her third marriage to Lynn League, when she got to marry him, Katie was a little girl. And Meemaw told her she was going to get married. She said, I'm going to get married again. Katie said, do you want him to die? You remember that? Katie thought for Meemaw to marry somebody was a death wish on her. Yeah. Why did she go through those things? I ain't got a clue. But somehow God's give her enough light that she's still hanging in there. She's still hanging in there. I'm glad God's given enough light in some of your lives that you're still hanging in here. Amen. Some are gone this morning. Yeah. Some are gone due to a midnight hour, a dark time in their life. Amen. They're out this morning. Some are so bitter they don't even pray anymore. Some of them are so angry with God. Church is the last place they want to be. Yeah. Right. Amen. You know what you need this morning? You need some light. You need God to shed a little light. Amen. Give you some hope and some direction.
Amen,
my buddy Terry Fennell and I was out hunting one night behind his mother's house, and we got lost. We wandered in the woods. He grew up right there in that was his backyard. We wandered around for hours and hours and hours, fighting through the briar patches, trying to get home. Finally, old Terry got to shouting, got happy. I said, what is it? He said, I see the porch light. I see the porch light. Boy, you know what that did? That gave us hope.
Yeah, brother.
That gave us hope. We're still in the briar patch, but we knew where we was going.
Yeah.
Amen? We knew we was in the briar patch. We knew we still had to wade through a little bit more swamp. We knew we still had to catch the dogs up. We knew we had still some stuff to go through, but we could see, good God Almighty, somebody help me this morning. We could see where we were going. All of a sudden, the condition didn't change. Amen. We were still in the mess we were in, but we got some hope.
Amen.
Amen. Some of you need just the porch light this morning. Some of you need for God just to flip on the switch and say, hey, I'm still here. It hadn't moved. Heaven's in the same place. I'm still on the throne. I'm still in control. And I can still help in your dilemma and your situation. Just keep pushing toward that light. Don't back up. Don't quit. Don't give up. Just press on, weary pilgrim. It won't be long. Amen. We got some situations. Some preachers preach like, if you're saved, there won't never be no more problems. That's usually a liar trying to get your money. Can I say it again? That's usually a liar trying to get your money. Amen. Sometimes I don't know why these preachers even get on TV. That's all they're doing is begging for money. Begging for money, begging for money, begging for money, begging for money. Telling you if you'll send it, you won't have no more problems. You know what they're doing? They're giving you a false light.
That's right. That's true,
they're giving you a false hope because that is just not so. I don't know anybody who doesn't have problems. I know people who are millionaires. Believe it or not, I know a couple of people who are millionaires. I know one millionaire. I mean, Got more money, and Carter got liver pills, what they used to say. I mean, he's loaded. Just went through a divorce. I know another millionaire. Got plenty of money. Got plenty of means, but he can't walk. He's probably fixing to have his third back surgery. Can barely feel one of his legs. Means is not always the answer. There's a crowd that says, oh, if you'll just do this, you won't ever have any more problems. You're going to have problems.
Amen.
You're going to have problems. I mean, just settle in. I mean, bank on it. Count on it. I ain't saying you got to look forward to it, but you are going to have trouble. What you need is some light in the trouble.
Amen. Amen, bro. Yes, sir.
What you need is for God to open up a window in heaven and say, hey, I'm still here, son. I'm still here, daughter. I still love you. And you're going through what you're going through for a reason. All things work together for good. That's a pretty good flashlight right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. You're just right out beside Romans 8:28 in your Bible, God's flashlight. Just write that down right there and let that be a reminder. Hey, I may not know why this is going on, but I'm not going to quit. I may not know where I'm going. I don't know the next step to take. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to keep on pushing. I'm going to keep on trying because God said all things work together for good. And I do love Him. I am called according to His purpose. I do love the Lord. So I know this is going to be okay. It may not work out the way I would like it to, but it's going to work out. Amen. It's going to work out. Let me give you several guys in the Bible who ran into some problems. How many is familiar in Genesis chapter 28, a young man by the name of Jacob? Y'all remember Jacob? Jacob had a brother. What was his name? Esau. They were twins. Who was born first? Good job. Jacob was a cheater and a con artist. He was a liar. He stole his brother's birthright. He stole his father's dying blessing that was supposed to go to Esau, the firstborn. And when he did that, his brother, the real man, Jacob was a mama's boy. I've told you that before. How do you know Esau was a man's man? He was out deer hunting. Jacob was home baking brownies with mama. Read your Bible. Esau was out hunting where a man ought to be, amen, except on Sunday. Don't be offended, I support PETA, people eating tasty animals, amen. Mama said, Jacob, Esau's going to tear you a new one when he finds out what you've done. I mean, he's going to knock your lights out. Son, you better run. So Jacob's on the run in Genesis chapter 28. There's no peace in his family. He's separated. The relationships have been broken. Jacob don't understand why everything is going on. But in the middle of a desert place, he goes from poverty to peace. All in one night. All in one night. What happened? God opened a window for him. God opened the window for him. God let him see a few things and changed his mind. Not only did he change his mind that night, but Brother Freddie, he changed his name.
Yeah.
Jacob means cheater, con. But he changed his name to Israel. In case you didn't know it, there's a country named after him. He said, I'm going to call you no more Jacob, but I'm going to call you Israel. I'm going to call you no more a cheater, I'm going to call you a prince. Why? Because God shed a little light. God shed a little light. I know it's probably worldly illustration, but I kind of like that old song old Hank Williams wrote. Senior, not junior. I saw the light. He said, once like a blind man, I wandered in sin. Is that right? Something about I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Something about glory to God one day. I don't know. I can't remember the word. He said, I saw the light. You remember when you saw the light? That made the difference in your life. Jacob's life changed drastically right here. I would say if there was getting saved in the Old Testament, that's what happened. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I would say if there was a type of conversion in the Old Testament, this is where Jacob was converted. When for the first time in his life, he saw God in His glory.
Yeah.
Some of you are lost and on your way to hell this morning. If you die like you are, you're going to burn forever and ever and ever. You need the light of God to shine in your soul this morning. Jacob went from poverty to peace. You remember when you got saved?
Yeah, bro.
Come on.
Amen.
You heard about peace all your life.
Yeah, bro.
Didn't have a clue. Didn't have a clue. I remember in the 70s and we got some dressing the part this morning. Remember peace, man. Peace. Que pasa. I don't even know what that means. It might be a cuss word. Is it, Brother Daniel? It ain't. Does it mean peace? Is that what it means? No, he won't tell me. I probably just cursed. It ain't my fault. I don't understand the language. Amen. I mean, that was, huh? What's up? Oh, okay. Is that right? Yeah. Anyway, man, we all talked about peace, peace, peace. Make love, not war. All that junk. Y'all remember that? Some of you do. Some of you ain't got a clue. Amen. Bless God, me and Brother Daniel remember it. Amen. We didn't know what peace was till the light of God shined in our life. Man, Jacob's life was forever changed. He said, well, I don't want to get saved. I'm afraid I can't live it. You know what? Jacob made mistakes after this day too. And I made mistakes after that day too. And you're going to make mistakes after that. The Bible said a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Hey, you're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. Get up, dust yourself off, and go on for the glory of God. I pray if you're here this morning, you're lost. God's shining a floodlight in your soul right now. You know what that light does? It shows you your condition. God said to Jacob, they're wrestling. They're wrestling, literally, wrestling with God. You've wrestled with God. Some of you are wrestling with Him right now. Right in the middle of the fight, God said, what's your name? Who are you? For the first time in his life, this boy was honest with God about who he was and about what he was. See, this ain't the first time he's been asked his name. God's telling him to let me go, and Jacob's saying, not, do you bless me? This ain't the first time he's asked for a blessing either. But he ain't dealing with his blind, dying daddy no more. He's dealing with God. God said, who are you? You want a blessing? Do you want a blessing? Would you like your life to change? Would you like to have peace in your heart? Who are you? He said, I'm Jacob. God, that's who I am. I'm a cheater. I'm a con, and I'm a liar. God said, not no more yet. I remember the first time in my life, 19 years old, Brother Jason's house, he was just a baby. Knocked on his door, and his daddy came outside, led me to Christ. For the first time in my life, I didn't say, I'm a member at White Oak Springs Baptist Church. Amen. I didn't say, my mama's Sandra White. She's the best bus captain that's ever lived. I said, God, I'm a sinner. Amen. That's who I am.
Yes,
I'm wicked and I'm vile. And I don't deserve heaven. Amen. I deserve to die and go to hell. I'm just a sinner, God. That's all I am. He said, not no more, you ain't.
Yeah.
He said, we're going to have another little name change right here. We're going to change your name from sinner to saint.
Amen.
Just like that, amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank God for the light,
amen,
that gave me direction for my life. There's a man in the Bible named Joseph. Joseph, y'all remember Joseph, the coat of many colors? He was favored by his dad. His brothers were jealous of him. Joseph kept having these dreams, and he would tell his brothers what these dreams were, and he'd interpret them. And he talked about how his brothers were going to serve him one day or bow to him one day, and they got mad. They got mad. You know what they did? They put him in a pit. Then they changed their mind. They sold him as a slave. He went to a man named Potiphar's house, was accused of trying to rape Potiphar's wife. From there, he went to prison. Do you know most of us would have quit in the pit?
Yeah.
Most of us would have quit right there.
Amen, bro.
He didn't deserve what he was getting.
That's right.
Some of the junk we're going through, it's our own fault. But he didn't do nothing. All he did was tell others what God had given him. And he was punished for it. You'd have got mad. I'd have got mad. Falsely accused. I mean, it's one thing when you're guilty. But when you just get straight up lied about. I mean, I wonder how long it had took you. He goes from the pit to Potiphar's house. Then he goes to prison. He's in prison. What was it, 3 years? 2 or 3 years? He's in prison a while. Long time. I wonder how many of you have made it that far. I wonder. The story doesn't tell us. But something got him from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison. But his story doesn't end there. Something got him to the palace. He winds up being the governor of the land.
Yeah, bro.
Something got him there. Something caused him to make it through all that trouble, years of trouble and toil and punishment for something he never even did. Something got him to the palace. And you know what? At the end of the story, his brothers came. There's a famine in their homeland. Nobody has any money. Nobody has any food. So they come to Egypt, and guess who they got to go see to get some food? It's their brother. And you know what they had to do? They had to bow down before him. They had no idea it was him. But through a lot of different circumstances, he sent them back home and back and forth. And then finally, the Bible said he just couldn't stand it no more. And he uncovered his face. And he revealed himself to them and scared them to death. He told them, said, "Don't be afraid, boys." He said, "You meant this to me for evil." He said, "But God meant it for good." Somehow in that pit, it had to be going through his mind. God knows what he's doing. Somehow at Potiphar's house, there had to be something that said, just hang in there. Don't give up. Don't quit. Somehow in that prison, he said something down inside his heart. There was something inside him that drove him and caused him to stay faithful.
Amen.
And when that king called him and said, "Can you tell me what my dream means?" I wonder if deep down inside Joseph's heart, he didn't say yes. I didn't know what. I didn't know why. But I knew God was doing something in my life.
Amen, brother.
You see, without the pit, without Potiphar's house, without the prison, there'd been no palace.
Right.
His family would have died of starvation had it not been for his troubles.
Amen,
you meant it to me for evil.
Yes, brother.
But God meant it for good. God let this happen so I could feed you.
Yeah.
What are you saying, preacher? Don't quit.
Amen, bro.
Just hang on till the lights come on.
Yes, bro.
Just hang on till you can see the way.
Amen.
But I don't understand. And you may not for a while.
On,
don't quit. But it's not fair. Nobody ever said it was. Don't quit.
Amen.
It's not right. I know it's not right, but God knows what he's doing.
Amen.
Don't quit. Don't quit. I'm so glad Ashley didn't quit with cancer. I'm so glad she didn't just give up. I'm so glad her mom and dad, and there's a time or two I was worried. God, are they going to make it through this? I'm glad they didn't quit.
Amen.
I'm glad Brother Shane didn't quit.
Yes.
It's almost a weekly thing. Has been since I've been his pastor. Somebody in his family is at the hospital. If it's not weekly, it's at least monthly. I'm not exaggerating, am I? I mean, that's the truth. Whether it's him, his wife, or one of his children, somebody's always something wrong. And he don't have little problems. Some of y'all about ready to throw in the towel, just sit down and talk to him for about an hour after church. You'll leave shouting. You'll leave with cheer in your heart.
Amen.
Joseph went from the pit to the palace. All because God, somewhere along the line, had to give him some light.
Amen, brother.
You say, "Well, you don't know that for sure." Yes, I do. He was a human being. He had a flesh nature just like me and you. Amen. We see Jacob go from poverty to peace. Joseph from the pit for the palace. And then there's old Job. You think Shane's got problems. Job had problems. Job went from problems to prosperity. He had it all. He lost it all. Then he got it all back double. His wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" He said, "You speak as a foolish woman." I want you to notice what Job said. Turn over there right quick. And I got to hurry, I know. Why don't you look see what old Job said. Job chapter number 23, right before the book of Psalms. Job chapter 23. Look at this. Boy, this is some understanding right here. Now listen to me carefully. He's a wealthy man, but he's lost everything he's got. He had 10 children, lost them all in one day. Then he was struck with sore boils from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. Here's a man who's literally at the bottom. I don't see how you could go any lower than where he's at. I've only got three children. I can't imagine losing one. There's something about losing everything you've got. I remember standing in the middle of the road, cold, Brother Carlos, no shoes on his feet, standing there watching everything they own go up in smoke. That's a hard thing. Job is lower than he's ever been in his life. But look at chapter 23. Look at verse number 7. He said, there the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. He said, behold, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Now, stay with me just for a second. Job said, I don't know where God's at. I'm a godly man. That's not Job's testimony. That's God's testimony about Job. God said, there's none like him in all the earth. God said, man, that's top notch right there. You want to see the picture of Christianity? You want to see the picture of the height of spirituality? There he is, right there. Job said, I can't find God. David said that one day too. So I don't know where he's at. I know he's somewhere, but I don't know where he's at. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a situation you literally could not see God in? I cannot see the hand of God working in this. I have no clue. I have people come in my office sometimes and they'll tell me their problems and I'm like, oh, pray. I don't know what to say. Just when I think I've heard it all, I get blindsided. They say, preacher, what is God doing? I don't always have the answer. Neither did Job. He said, not only do I not understand what God's doing, I don't even know where God is. Look at verse number 10. He said, but. I love that little conjunction right there. That means what is about to be said is going to be totally opposite from what has just been said. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Here's what he said. I don't know what's going on, but he does.
Yeah.
This is all I know. When I'm done, I'm going to shine.
Yeah. Good.
When I'm gone, when he's done, when this is over, everybody's going to say, oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Not only was Job amazed, not only was Job's wife amazed, but what, 4,000 or 5,000 years later, 6,000 years later, we're all amazed.
Yeah.
Still at what God did.
Yeah.
In Job's life.
Amen.
You know what? He did shine.
Yes.
He did come forth.
Yes, sir.
As gold.
Amen.
He went from problems, prosperity. When this thing was over, God gave him back double everything he had. Somebody said one time, said he got back everything, double what he had, but his kids. He got double them too. He got 10 more kids, but he already had 10 in heaven.
Right.
He didn't lose them, amen. They're reunited, amen. There was a guy in the Bible by the name of Jonah. Y'all remember the story about Jonah? Got swallowed by a whale. Jonah went from pouting to preaching, didn't he? God said, Jonah, I want you to go preach. Jonah said, I don't want to go. Say amen right there, Brother Russ. Brother Jason. Brother CJ, we got two young men just announced their call to preach, amen. Y'all ought to be ready to preach tonight. Jason gets a heart attack every time I say that. He didn't call you to announce it. He called you to do it. Amen. God called Jonah and said, hey, I want you to go down to Nineveh. You know what his problem was? He didn't like those people.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just not going to that church. I don't like those people.
Yeah.
When did that have anything to do with the equation?
Yeah.
Think about it. I'm not going to work on that bus route. I don't like those kids. God didn't ask you to like them.
Amen.
He told you to love them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just don't fit in there. God didn't ask you to fit in. God just puts you where he needs you.
Yes, sir.
Jonah was prejudiced against the Ninevites. He wanted God to destroy them. Matter of fact, he went down there and preached to them. They all got right with God, and Jonah got mad. Yeah. Jonah wanted them to rebel. He wanted to stand back and watch God smoke them. That's how bad he didn't like them. But in the belly of that fish, he said it was the belly of hell. Somewhat, can you imagine how dark it is in a whale's belly? Talk about not being able to see your hand in front of your face. There's no light in a whale's belly. I mean, you're already in the ocean. You're already in the depths, amen? Now you're in a whale's belly, floating in stomach acid. But somehow God shined a little light. I wonder if God began to sing to him, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, this little light of mine." All of a sudden, Jonah said, "Out of the belly of hell I cried." You know what he said? "God, you get me out of this fish, I will preach like a striped ape."
Yeah.
Amen. I guarantee you when that whale threw him up on the beach, he didn't come out thinking about preaching. He didn't come out studying about preaching. He come out preaching.
Yeah.
Amen. God said, "Jonah, I want you to preach." Jonah said, "I don't want to preach." "Okay, do it your way. Let's see how this works out for you. Go ahead, choose the alternative." I just don't want to serve God. I'm too busy. Go ahead and try the alternative. Jonah found out that surrender was a whole lot better than to rebel. Just to obey God and do what he said. You know what? He could have avoided becoming puke. That's literally what he was. The fish threw him up. Amen. Somebody said only a Baptist preacher would make a whale sick. Amen. He could have missed that. He could have missed that had he just surrendered to begin with.
Amen.
There's some things you could miss. I'm done. Brother Todd, y'all come and get me a song. Old John, the Revelator, who wrote the book of Revelations, he went from prison to praising. He was marooned, jailed on the island of Patmos for preaching, for serving God. But God gave him a little light while he was there.
Amen, bro.
You talk about a light.
Yeah.
I imagine being in John's position, everything that he went through, I imagine he could probably be feeling a little bit sorry for himself. The Lord said, "Hey, John, you wait. I want to show you something."
Yeah.
You know what he showed him, first of all?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to see heaven.
Yeah.
He's going to see how the end of this thing is going to play out. He's going to see all that. But first thing he showed him was his cell.
Yeah.
"John, you've been preaching about me. You've been telling other people about me. I want you to see me, John."
Yeah, bro.
I imagine business started picking up about that time.
Amen, bro.
"I don't care what your problems are. I promise you, heaven will fix it." Kyle Rowland wrote a song. In the song somewhere, I think it said something along the line, "Heaven will take care of it all." Heaven's going to take care of it all. Chopped off legs, tumors, heartaches. Heaven's going to fix it all. I imagine John said, "I can't stand where I'm at. But if that's where I'm going, it'll be worth the wait." God just had to shed him a little light. Maybe you need some light this morning. Maybe you're like Jacob.
You need that light to shine in your heart for the first time in your life. You need a relationship with Christ and you don't have one. That could all change right here today. It's not some big long process. You don't have to fill out an application. You've already been accepted. He said, for whosoever will, let him come. Let's stand our feet this morning. Maybe you're just about ready to throw in the towel. Saved and on your way to heaven, but tired of it. Fed up, ready to quit. But you come to God and say, God, could you at least give me a little light? I've been begging you to take the problem away, but God, it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. Could you just give me a little light? God, help me to understand maybe just a little what's going on. God, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful. I'm not going to quit, God. But just give me enough light to keep going. Let's bow our heads this morning all over the house. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning who don't know Christ as their Savior. You're not sure if you died just like you are, heaven would be your home. I won't come to you or embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. If you just slip up your hand this morning. So, preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. There's no doubt about that. I'll tell you something else there's no doubt about. That message was for me. I need some light. I need the light of God to shine in my soul this morning, to help me to understand and to not give up. Hands already being raised. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Let's pray together this morning. Fathers, we come to you. In Jesus' dear name, we thank you, God, for a good day. Lord, we thank you for these dear people who have been faithful to get up on Sundays and come sit in your house and hear me preach. God, they came this morning with needs, and they came with problems, they came with difficulties. Lord, they came with baggage. Father, I pray you'd give them some light this morning. Lord, let's let them see the porch light as they're lost in the woods in the midnight hour. God, let them see some hope. Father, you know every heart, you know every need. God, we just trust in you to help us this morning. We'll give you all the glory for everything you do, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.